Welcome to a Rising Tide podcast, where we firmly believe that a rising tide lifts all boats. I'm your host, Zach Kidd, and I'm based in Clearwater, Florida. This is episode 6 and part of my lender series with guest Christina Carroll.
Short of a life sentence and death, I haven't seen anybody who can't bounce back.
Got my guest, Christina Carroll, waiting in the wings. She's a lender with Cross Country Mortgage, and let's bring her on. Where's my right button? Me and G1, there we go. Christina, are you there? Yeah. There we go. Christina, tell me about Cross Country Mortgage, right?
Yeah, Cross Country Mortgage. They're currently the nation's number one retail lender. So the advantage of that is I'm able to shop literally thousands of banks for interest rates, and I can do loans in every single state except for, I think, like Maryland or something. Anyways, it's not come up.
Who cares? It's a small state and it's up north.
It's a tiny state. Yeah. Yeah.
I brought you on tonight to talk about first-time home buyers and VA buyers and anything else you want to chat about. Yeah. So tell us about your first-time home buyer programs.
Well, so first-time home buyer programs, let me just be clear on that. That can be a very confusing topic for people because oftentimes when they say first-time home buyer programs, what they're really meaning is down payment assistance. That's certainly not what I mean when I talk about these things, but I will let you know what the differences are. So I think that, you know, first-time home buyers, they come to me and they're like, I don't even know where to start, right? So that's where I'm going to start. Where do they start?
Okay, yeah. Because, you know, like, I remember when I bought my first house, I was 100% clueless. And yeah, I didn't get much better for, like, I went through the process and I'm still like, I have no idea what I just did.
Totally. So, if you don't buy a house, like, several times a year, you do not, you know, no.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot to it.
Like, there really is. Like, somebody shows up with a big stack of papers and they're like, here, sign all of this. I don't know what I'm doing, you know, go get a pre-approval. I don't know what that is. So you want to talk about like the steps in the process a little bit? What are the things that you find that first-time home buyers don't know that they don't know?
Yes, that's everything. So where you start is ideally you would get pre-approved. And so you go to a lender like myself, or ideally me, right? And then you fill out your application. I do a soft pull on the credit so it doesn't harm your credit score in any way, but this is gonna let me see all of your current debts that you have and your credit score. So at that point, I'm able to tell you how much house you can afford, if there's any credit repair that I need to do for you or that you need to do on your own. And just see if you're happy with where you are, or if not, what adjustments we can make. So that's your first stop. And then once you have that pre-approval, that's when you meet up with your realtor and come up with your game plan for the house hunt.
Right. So exactly. Here's one that we always hit. What's the difference between a pre-qualification or a pre-qual and a pre-approval?
Yeah. So a pre-qual is when a person applies and they type in all of their information, but they don't submit any documents. For example, they don't submit any pay stubs. They don't show any proof of their funds, meaning their savings for the purchase. They just type in their numbers and then the loan officer says, you're pre-qualified. So you can imagine how seriously that would be taken if you were the listing agent and this person's right. Not had any documents reviewed, okay?
Right. I always like to say the pre-qual is just as good as that flyer that comes in the mail that says you may have already been approved for $50,000 on a credit card. Doesn't mean anything. It's like when you get the actual credit card that says call this number to activate, that's your pre-approval.
That's totally right.
But it drives me nuts when people use them interchangeably. I'm like, they're not. They're so not.
No. And you're not going to get that past the realtors. So like, if you try and make an offer with a pre-qual letter, they're not going to take it. That won't be acceptable. So the pre-approval, that's when I actually collect your documents, which is usually for most people just pay stubs, W-2s, and bank statements. If you're self-employed, it's just bank statements and tax returns. And then we go over your numbers, we go over your payments, your projected payment, you know, it's close to what you'll be at. We don't know exactly until you're actually under contract. And then you go on your house hunt and start making offers.
Yeah, see, that's the fun part. Like, I know it sounds weird, but like, I love shopping homes. It is so much fun to go in and go, hey, check this out. Did you notice that? Like, it's so much fun.
I don't think it sounds weird. I think that it's, I tell people it's like online dating, but way better. Because it's similar, right? Because you look at the pictures online, you're like, oh, this one looks good. But then you get there and like, sometimes and totally they look better than the pictures, but most times they don't look better than their pictures.
Right. So. You're so totally catfished on some of these. Here we go. Here's a clip from Beetlejuice.
A little gasoline, low torch, no problem.
Yeah, pretty much. Her. We've all seen those houses, right? Which brings me up, you know, we can actually do a renovation loan on a house that's been burned to the ground minus one wall. Just saying.
Yeah, it's got to have one wall standing. Like, it doesn't even have to be standing good. It's just, it's there.
Right? I actually haven't had someone do it that extreme before, but I like to bring it up.
You know, it's good to know what your maximum is. And then you can always do less. Like, oh, the house needs a roof, or the fence is leaning over. Those still qualify in renovation loans.
They sure do. Even you can put in a pool, too. It's crazy what you can do. Yeah.
Ooh, I like that idea. Yeah. So, see, this is good stuff. And, like, there's so many buyers out there. Like, even if they have done it, you know, a half dozen times over their life, they may not realize these loan products are out there. And, you know, here's an opportunity. You can buy a house at a decent price, or even, good price, and then pay to put a pool in, but it's not coming out of your pocket. Like, you don't have to close and then come up with 50, 60 grand to put a pool in.
The renovation loans, we give the loan based on the after repair value. So, you know how when you get the house appraised, like, it's that value. It's the after repair value, which I think is amazing. But I also just want to say, just to go back to the first time home buyer thing, another thing that, it, you know, people have misconceptions on from back 40 years ago somehow is the minimum downs. Okay. If you have not owned a house in the last 3 years, then you're probably only going to need to put 3% down. You can put more down, but you don't have to. Yeah. And a lot of people still have in their head, they have to put 20% down. That's only if you buy an investment property.
Right. And even at that, like, I battle this one all the time myself. Mm-hmm. Maybe I've got a meme for this. But yeah, like, I've got like tons of memes here. It's great. I love it. It's fun. But
no, I love memes.
Like, it's the whole thing here is to have a good time and maybe be informative. So,
yes.
One of the things that always comes up is, I've got to have 20% down. You know, the last year that was required was the year before Star Wars came out. And I'm not saying A New Hope, because that was rebranded later as A New Hope. We're talking 1977. That's the same year that Staying Alive. It's 1975, you know, or 1976, I think, is what it was. And you just look at that and you're like, right? That's same as Staying Alive. And you're going, no, dude, you don't, like, that was a lifetime ago. John Travolta was young.
That was so long ago. It was only 1974 that women were able to get a mortgage on their own. So that's how long ago that was.
It's so crazy when you look at stuff, and people still have this idea that this is how things are. And it's not. It's not even close.
With FHA, it's crazy how little money people can bring to the table.
Oh, yeah. And I got a lot of people that they're like, oh, I want to bring all the money. And so there's two different schools of thought on this. There's the Dave Ramsey and there's the Robert Kiyosaki. Dave Ramsey, no debt, no debt. Robert Kiyosaki's like, all the debt. It's not a bad thing if you're doing it right.
I'm more on Kiyosaki's side, being a real estate investor. I'm not as intense as he is about getting into as much debt as possible. But I mean, hey, he's a lot richer than I am. So whatever.
For me, like, when I'm talking with potential clients about buying their house, I'm like, look, if the market tanks tomorrow,
Yeah.
If the bank holds 95% of the loan on your house, that's a problem for the bank. That's not mm-hmm. your problem.
Yeah.
You know, and that's more Kiyosaki. I get it. Like, if it's paid in cash, you don't have to worry about that. But
yeah,
you know. So there's this, it's all dependent on your personal risk and your personal yes. philosophy, which you prefer.
And your financial goals as well. Yeah.
Oh, totally. Totally. Yeah. So, you know, it's and these are things that even experienced buyers don't necessarily dig Definitely. Into. And I've even got investors who are like, oh, why wouldn't I do that? Well, because, you know, what the bank
This happens the all the time. It's funny. Wealthy people call me to discuss the mortgage options before they make a decision because they want to bounce the ideas off of someone's head, right? That's in this real estate finance industry because their specialty is not this. It's whatever else, right? And oftentimes it's in finance, but it's just not in this. So we talk about all the different options before they make their decision. And sometimes I have to do different applications just to see where they land. But yeah, no, it's definitely, people are very, I feel like the general public is very intimidated contacting a loan officer and discussing their finances. I've never been like that. So I've never quite understood that. In my family, my everybody talked about money quite openly. My mom was a loan officer. So was my aunt. Maybe that was why everybody in my family does invest in real estate. It's amazing how intimidated people are, but wealthy people are not. They're never afraid to have those conversations. They're never afraid to learn and just kind of debate back and forth.
And it's a language that you become fluent in. It's mm-hmm. like if you wake up tomorrow and you want to learn Spanish or French, you got to study it and you got to be around people and speak it a little bit. And then the more you do, the easier you find it. And then all of a sudden you're speaking a language. And I see the same thing with real estate and investing. It's not. It's like, I mean, there's some stuff that's still, you know, way above my head, but a lot of the stuff, it's not that difficult.
I just want to swing back. So, as you know, like VA and USDA, those are actually zero down loan programs. Now, that doesn't mean you come to the table, your bank account is empty or in the red. You do still have closing costs. But I will say the last couple of years being what they are, with most people not qualifying for a mortgage, sometimes the sellers are paying all the closing costs, all of them.
Yeah.
And so I've closed loans where the buyer literally just had to pay, you know, for the appraisal and the home inspection. Which is around $1,000 for people who aren't aware.
I was going to say like 2020, 2021, when it was that feeding frenzy of a market.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like good luck trying to get that zero out of pocket.
Never. You wouldn't even write that.
Like, you know, hey, we've got 15 offers. Why would we take this one? Now, though, with that extra time on market, which I didn't do my market statistics today. I'll do that tomorrow. But yeah, those times on market have been creeping up and it's feeling more balanced right now. So if you're a vet, like me, and you're looking to use that VA loan and come up out of pocket as little as possible, there's a way to write this into deals now. I mean, there's always been, but now it's like a viable option. And, you know, again, if you can, I'm just going to use round numbers. If you can finance 100% of it, that's the bank's problem.
Well, the other thing I just want to say about VA loan is you can qualify for more house with the VA loan because there's no mortgage insurance. So zero down, no mortgage insurance. There's not going to be a lower payment in the world.
and this is a big misconception about the VA loan, that there are lenders that lenders that give you a VA loan.
But it's
backed by the government. It's not you're going to Congress and saying, hey, look, I served. Can I get money? No, it's actually the lenders that do it, but it is backed by the government. It is an incredible backing. And I like to say it is the only loan that quite literally took an act of Congress. And Congress is like, no, you're good. We say you're good. That's huge. And it's a very powerful loan product. And, you know, and the other thing I love, not that it's easy to find this, but technically there is no minimum credit score on a VA loan. And that's because Congress knew we were going to screw up our credit.
Yeah. Well, that's true. I will say, though, the worse your credit score, the worse your interest rate is going to be. But,
exactly. And the harder it is to find somebody who actually will fund it.
Yeah. I mean, cross country, I'm with them because they say yes to virtually everybody who has a pulse. But the other thing is the debt to income ratio isn't set in stone with VA, which is totally different than all the other loans. I've actually had one approved before at 66% debt to income ratio. And that sounds super reckless. That sounds like I set someone up for disaster. But listen, he had a partial commission job and I couldn't use any of his commission income, which was like $2,000 a month because he had only been doing it for a year and you need 2 years on commission only. So he was well qualified in reality. Okay.
And same goes for self-employed people. You need what, 2 years of statements or if you own your own company, this is one that shockingly I come up against often enough to actually say something about this. If you are working for your own company, I know most of the time you want to not pay yourself as much because that incurs taxes. But if you're looking to buy a property, then you need 2 years of income shown. So bite the bullet, pay yourself a W-2 wage for two and a half years. So then,
you don't even have to do W-2. You don't.
Well, you don't, but you have to show.
You have to show net income in some variety. So I don't let people chance that. If someone's self-employed and they're preparing to qualify to buy a home, I have them send me their previous year's tax returns. Then I can tell them exactly how much net income they need to claim for the next year to get the house price that they want. So that's how we do that.
So do the heads up thing. See, I know just enough to be dangerous, and that's where I go, hey, Paul, Christina.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong, but the devil's in the details, so they shouldn't just wing it.
No, and that's where I say, like, these are things that you need to know about, and talk to a lender who actually knows exactly what you need in order to qualify, because, like you said, it doesn't have to be W-2. You can do 1099, right?
I've even qualified someone for a jumbo loan based on capital gains income. There's a lot we can do with tax. Yep, it's true. There's a lot that's we can so do cool. with tax returns. That one's an outlier. That's not too common, but still there's a lot we can do. You're not going to get good advice going to a financial advisor about this. They do not know all these things. Mortgage people only, do not wing it.
Yeah. And you know, that's part of the fun of this industry. It's part of what I love. And I'm sure I can hear you do too. Our bread and butter is the bread and butter. But man, when you have those situations where you got to get creative, that is so nice. You know, especially when you can get it across the finish line. There's something in here's this unique problem, and being able to solve it that's just jaw dropping. Like, it's so much fun.
It really is. I think no one should be intimidated to apply for a mortgage, and it boggles my mind still that people are, because again, it's just a soft pull on the credit. I'm going to tell you specifically what to do to meet your goal, right? It's your goal. It's your life. Yeah. We're talking about improving the quality of your life.
Well, and that's the whole thing is, like, people look at lenders like, oh my God, you're going to judge me. You might judge a little bit. Because, that's just kind of
your nature. I don't care.
I try not to, but every once in a while, I'm like, that's how you get your income, huh? But I don't really, at the end of the day, I don't care.
Oh, no. People think that.
And they're like, I've got a 300 credit score. Cool. Let's plug you into the system and get that up to something that you can actually get a loan.
If they're 300, they're going to need actual credit repair professionals. Yeah. But that's so rare. I've seen a handful of those.
But you have seen a handful of them.
I've seen everything, but I've seen a lot.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, you don't have to be in this, high and mighty ivory tower kind of scenario in order to be able to afford to buy a home. If start the process early, if you think something's wrong or you're not 100% sure, you got a low credit score, maybe, you've got higher debts or something like that. Talk to a lender, because the lenders know how to fix these problems, and they'll, and I know everybody's like, oh, I'll go online. look, you and I both know.
Oh, like, no.
No, no.
There's no chance they'll figure it out online, I'm afraid. It's a personal thing. It's a personal thing per person. And I have to say, too, most people who say my credit's probably not good enough, 7 out of 10 times I would say it's plenty good enough for a good loan and a good interest rate. I think a lot of people are very hard on themselves about their credit scores.
Well, and a big part of that is because they've been told their entire life you need to have 20% down and an 800 credit score or maybe a 780 score. Yeah. And it's totally, and you know, when you're in the industry and you know the facts and you're like, that's not even close. Like, you know, it's the VA loan. I remember this when I was getting out of the military. And they told us in our transition class, don't waste your VA loan. You can only use it once. And my brain melts every time somebody tries to pull that with me.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, I haven't actually heard that years, thankfully. But
there's still a lot of people who served who that's what we were told. So
that's what they think. People think that about FHA too. There's just a lot of confusion. Look, I think that mortgage people are pretty friendly. I think I'm pretty friendly. I was a social worker for 10 years. Like, I'm not a very judgmental person. I certainly don't care. My goal is to help you succeed, and I literally won't get paid if I don't. So we're on the same side.
Yeah. And where that's what it ultimately boils down to is, you know, this is how you shape your team. You find the good lender, you find the good realtor, somebody that you go, yes, this is somebody I want to work with and somebody who's going to support me on my journey to buying a home. And
it doesn't even end there. I'm in touch with people forever after. Like,
because
things change. Like, maybe they would benefit from a refi. Maybe they're getting divorced. Maybe life happens. It really does for better or worse. So, I don't ever lose touch.
And that's a big thing for me is the really good lenders. And I make a distinction here that, you know, it's just like with I make the linguistic distinction between there's realtors and there's real estate agents. I have to be very nice through the code of ethics how I talk about realtors, but real estate agents, I can dog on all I want to. You know, and same thing like with lenders, there's good ones and there's bad ones. And the good ones are the ones that go, you know, I don't know what the time frame is in between when you purchase and when you can do like a HELOC. But the day that happens, you know, hey, I just want you to know you'd now qualify for a HELOC. You know, I don't know what your current property would appraise at, but just going off of rough numbers, maybe you've got 10,000 that you could draw on. And do you need a new car?
It's not a time period. It's a matter of equity. So like that could be fast or slow.
Yeah. Depends on the market.
Can I tell you an inspirational story?
Absolutely.
Okay. So a couple years back, I had a couple approach me, and he had been out of prison for a couple years. She also had a super rough background involving criminal justice, and they had struggles with drugs, but the rap sheet was really long, okay? And so they were both out, and they had a child. They had a child. It wasn't his, but they were raising a child together. And I really liked these people. Now, this might probably the social worker in me, okay? But I love a comeback. I love a comeback story. I love being a part of it. And
it's that whole underdog vibe that we love.
It is. But this story, I'll never forget. I'll never forget these people. And anyways, you'll see. So we work together. There's some things that need to be done involving their credit, involving their savings, et cetera, et cetera. But within probably 6 months, they bought their first house. It was a townhouse. He actually got approved by the HOA, which all of our jaws hit the floor. We're pretty sure I didn't actually pull that criminal background check that they paid for. Like, we're 99% sure. Anyway.
Yeah. Or they didn't
care. You know, but they got it. They got in the house. They got in the house. Everything was cool. And life was stable. They call me about a year and a half later. It wasn't even quite 2 years. And she's like, we make over $300,000 a year now, and we want a house with a pool. We're done with the townhouse life. I was like, dang, good for you.
Right.
So I take their application, and even though they're killing it financially, her credit score was 500 on the dot. So you can't do a loan if it drops even 1 point. So I said, we can't even do this. But I'll see what I can do. Now, there was nothing I could actually do with her particular credit report. There were some items that had to be removed, and I can't do that. So I sent her to credit repair. It took 6 months only, just 6 months with them. She did everything they said, which is key to credit repair. You actually have to do the steps they tell you. She did everything they said. 6 months later, she was pre-approved. I think, it was like $650,000, $700,000. That this house they landed on. It's actually not too far from where I live. And they got an amazing pool, amazing house. Couldn't be happier. This kid was now adopted by the man. And I just love these guys. They have single-handedly changed their family trajectory. And I just couldn't be more proud of them and their success story. I know that they're going to continue to thrive in the future. I look forward to helping them get into real estate investing, because that's still probably a couple of years away, but they know it's in the woodworks. Amazing.
Yes.
The fact that these people, they literally get turned down all the time when they go for jobs, when they go for credit, like they get set, they're just used to hearing no. And when they hear no, they say, well, no, how? And then we work for it. I love that attitude.
Yes. So that's a very Robert Kiyosaki thing, which if y'all don't know who we're talking about, that's the author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And he's got a bunch of other books. It's not yes or no, or I can't do that. It's do I do that thing? And that completely reframes your entire discussion. And then you start bumping into people like us who are like, hey, here's something that you may not have considered. And I do that all the time, probably to my detriment. But
funny.
I like people to know you have more options than you think you do. And if you choose to do this thing, that's cool. I'm not going to fault you for it. But, you know, just like, I want to buy a single family home. Okay, but did you know that same loan can get you a duplex, a triplex, or a fourplex? That could be a game changer. That can put you on the path to real estate investing. And, that puts you in a then you're on your path to generational wealth.
Yeah.
Why not?
So let me just comment on that so people know what you're talking about. A person buys a multifamily property and they reside in one of the units, so they're buying it as a primary residence, before you even close on the property, I am able to count the assessed rental income that's assessed by the appraiser at 75% as though you're already earning it. So you might have only qualified for a $300,000 house, but now you qualify for a $600,000-$700,000 multifamily, depending, you know, how much income it's bringing in, how many units. It's life changing. So then you live in that, you know, for at least a year, and then you can move and keep that house, buy your next primary. Amazing.
Right. And like, that is such a huge wealth building tool. And so you got to suck it up for a year. Okay.
That's not even sucking it up. Like, it's a step up.
Exactly. It's like, okay, so you're living in an apartment and, you know, you're running out the other side. That's not bad.
It's far better to own.
Exactly. And so then the next question is, how many times can you do that?
Yeah, that's a good question. That actually varies lender to lender, how many loans, how many mortgages you can have. But for our company, it's 10. For other, I don't think there's too many out there going over 10. I think back in the day, people would get as high as 15, but I don't really think that people do that anymore.
No, they usually don't. But I mean,
that's a lot.
that's a lot. And at that point, you go into portfolio lending, and that's its own beastie. But a lot of people are like, okay, so I did one, but I can't get another loan ever. That's not true.
Those are conforming loans too. If you want to go the non-conforming route, there's no end.
Yeah.
Ever.
And the thing that I like to say is, people have this, right or wrong, they have this preconceived notion of the VA loan being the most strict. But even with the VA loan, you can have multiple VA loans at the same time as long as it's under the cap. So you know, you can have two. And that's a game changer.
You could get a
multifamily. You know, so it doesn't have to be actually, I need to buy a
did
phone.
You know this about the VA loan? Two veterans can actually buy a sixplex together. Did you know that?
Oh, I did not know that. Yeah. That is a gang. Oh, my man, that is awesome.
Isn't that wild? Because you can't do that with the other loans. The highest you can go is four.
Yeah. I'd never heard that. So, but they both have to be veterans, right?
They do.
Oh man, that is a game changer. How does that one work? I want to know more about this.
It's the same. It's super easy to qualify. So you got two veterans. It doesn't matter if they live in one unit or two. I'm adding in the income from all of the other units. So from four or five other units, I mean, they could pretty much have no income and still qualify, right? Because that income is going to be so high. Isn't that mind-blowing?
that is crazy. So the cutoff, usually we've got small multifamily, which is four units and under, and then you've got commercial, which is five units or more. And
that's correct.
Yeah, to get six with two VA loans, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's still one loan, but it's two veterans on one loan together. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, that is nothing but pure money. And then, like, how long do you have to live in that before you can move out? And then you rent those other two units.
Well, it's still, if you want to buy another, you're going to wait a year, right? So.
Oh, yeah. You get to buy a six-unit apartment complex with your buddy, live in it for a year, and then go do it again.
You can. Well, you can't do another zero down VA loan sixplex, but yeah. Right. Look, there is no faster or cheaper. That's literally the fastest, cheapest way to become an investor that exists. Hands down.
It totally is. And
sort of inheriting an apartment building.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, exactly. So let's talk a little bit on the personal side. You said you used to do social work, right?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. So how did you get into lending?
So I burned out on social work after 10 years and like literally couldn't work anymore. And so I went into sales and my mom and my aunt had done this job. So I knew exactly what I was in for. You know, switching to a commission only life is not, it's not for most, but I already knew what to do. So I just took 3 months of solid studying for the mortgage exam and passed it and got a job and the rest is history.
Nice. Yeah, it's a rough go to transition from W-2 to, here's a commission check.
I like it, but I'm that kind of personality, you know?
Yeah. It's like there's no top end, but there's also no bottom end. So you have to be good with that.
The first year I worked 7 days a week. The second year I worked 6 days a week. I still work 6 days a week. It looks a little different depending on what's going on in the market. But I still work six days.
Yeah, we do. Hey, here we go. My buddy cool. Steve Davenport. He says he's watching on Facebook and he also has cross-country mortgage. So that's cool. Thanks for commenting, Steve. I totally appreciate it, brother. It's always great to get feedback from somebody who is watching.
Of course.
I love this. Because so much of the time it's like, oh man, I'm talking to nobody. But it's, you know, that's why I like doing the recordings because, you know, we can cut these down later and, use them as social promos because you've dropped some absolute gems.
Oh, thank you. I really enjoy talking about this stuff, but I know like people don't really find it interesting until it's relevant to them. But I like to inspire people. I like to take away all of their anxieties about it. There's no need for that.
No. And that's why I like having these kind of discussions because it demystifies it. And, you know, when you go, man, I've got like a 580 credit score and I only make 60 grand a year right now and I'm struggling to afford an apartment. There's no way I qualify for a house. Do you? Are you sure?
There's a few ways I could answer that.
Right.
So it depends.
Yeah.
The circumstances you've just described, it seriously depends. It depends on their location and the cost of houses. and their debts. So if a person makes 60 grand, but they don't have any debt, meaning they don't have high monthly payments on their debts, they don't have $1,000 a month car payment like so many people do now, then they might be okay. If they have a lot of debt, they're probably not going to be okay. And I'm probably going to have to tell them exactly what debts to target. Because if you try and guess, you're going to get it wrong. The way that it comes up on the debt to income ratio is we go by your monthly payments. So I will look at your monthly payments and target the debts that have the highest monthly payment, not the biggest sum of debt. And then also I can look at each credit bureau and see what they advise to target and how much money you should put down on each debt in order to improve your credit score. And they'll actually tell me how much it will improve your credit score as well.
Nice. So yeah, that's a huge thing. Cause like, I don't know who posted it up today, but I saw it was like a private credit card, but it was for like a major box store. I'm going to say like Home Depot, but I know it wasn't that. And they said that this company had just bumped the interest rate on their card. They had monthly service fees and they bumped the interest rate on the card to 39%.
Oh my gosh. That seems almost not legal, if not legal. Right?
It doesn't seem like it would be, but apparently they did. Again, I didn't verify it or anything, but that's why it's important to pay attention to these things. And, you know, if you've got $20 sitting on that card, you better pay that one off before the $1,000 you've got sitting on a 0% interest card, right? Like, that's going to be a huge difference.
I mean, I have to like literally upload everything from their credit report to advise them, but it's not a big deal. Again, it doesn't cost them anything. That's another thing. Just today, how much does it cost to apply with you? $0.
Nice. That's how much it costs. Yeah, that is huge because, you know, everybody's like, oh, you know, you don't work for free. Well, no, but we get paid on the back end.
I actually do work for free until their loan is closed. So
exactly. Yeah. And that's the same with me. I'm like, look, let's go have fun looking at houses. And when you finally cross the finish line, then I get a payday. That's a huge thing. So I actually, hey, look at this. People are asking questions. I totally dig this. Yeah, Matt Keelan says he's on Facebook as well. And then he responded, yes, you do. I'm not sure what that was in reference to. But Steve Davenport said, I may have missed it, but can you have two mortgages? And he says, so I have a current mortgage and maybe want to buy a complex to eventually rent out or maybe buy a second house. So that's a really awesome question. I dig that. So yeah, if you want to dive in on that.
Multiple questions. So yes, lots of people have multiple houses. This is a crazy thing. It is actually easier to qualify for an investment property than it is a primary residence. And the reason is you do need 20% down to buy an investment property that's single family all the way up to a fourplex. However, I am adding in the assessed income on that property at 75% as though you're already earning it before you're even buying it. So that allows you to afford a lot more house, which is amazing.
Nice.
Now, if he wanted to buy, like you mentioned before, if he wanted to buy over four units, that's a commercial loan and a commercial property, unless he's a veteran trying to do the double veteran sixplex deal.
Yeah.
So that's a different animal. I don't do commercial loans. That needs to go straight through the big bank.
Yeah, which I mean, yeah, I like that six pack deal. But if you're not a vet, then don't stress over
it. It's unique.
So what you can do, and I'm going to let you dig in and clarify on this a little bit. So if you're currently living in one property, and that's one of the things that, my wife and I were buying our house, one of the big considerations was exit strategy, because I do speak this language. If we want to move, what can we do with this house? And I didn't want to be stuck in that. You can I think it's Bel Air Beach does not allow any kind of rentals at all whatsoever.
Oh, wow.
Like, yeah. Okay. And I'm like, I am not dealing with something like that. So we wound up, our house is technically in unincorporated Pinellas County, which means we can do long-term rental, medium-term rental, or even short-term rental. We could refi, we could sell, and then take whatever we want and use that to qualify the next property. And that was, very conscious. Yeah, it was a very conscious
Several
decision.
Several options, right? If you own your house free and clear, you can definitely do a cash out refi. That's your cheapest way to pull the cash out and buy the next property in cash. Also, you could do a HELOC. That's going to have an interest rate a point or two higher. It, right now, it's only like a point higher. It's amazing. It's not even expensive. You get that cash in 5 business days. It's absolutely, it's an AI product. 5 business days. But you can pull out the cash through a HELOC. Yep.
So with that HELOC, are you talking like I bought my house for $300,000, it would now appraise at, say, $350,000. I can get $50,000?
Yeah. Oh, you can get more than that because you can take out all but 20%. So you can take out 80%. Yeah. So you can pull the money out and buy that house. 5 business days is all it takes to do the HELOC, which is why the interest rate is slightly higher. Anyway, alternatively, say you haven't. Say you just bought your house last year, but now all of a sudden you need a bigger house. Maybe your family is growing or something has changed. So you have 2 options. One, you can keep that house and you can rent it out. If you do this, you are going to need a rental contract that they are going to move in within 30 days of the closing on the new property. You're going to need first month's rent, last month's rent, and a security deposit in the bank to show the underwriter. So that's what you would have to do. Now, when you do that, I am adding that rental income back into your debt to income ratio towards the next house, again at 75%. So you can afford, it basically is a no-brainer, but not everybody wants to be a landlord. So most people don't do this. Most people will opt to sell their house, do a double close, which means you sell your house first thing in the morning, you close in the afternoon on your new purchase. It's a little trickier. It's a little more stressful, like for real. But if you don't want to be a landlord, that's one way you can go. But don't you love having that option?
It's so wonderful. Like, and the idea of, this is another thing that I paid attention to that I love. It's the whole, okay, I want to rent my property, but I hate the idea of tenants, you know, and having to worry about repairs. If you're in a scenario where you can do short-term rentals, they're not considered tenants. They're guests and they go under hotel law.
Yeah, so, that's right.
You know, you come in, you trash the place. It's the sheriff who's coming to drag you off to jail. Which is
I'll just say, like, I only do month-to-month contracts and the sheriff's still going to drag you out because I can cancel you in 15 days notice. So it goes either way. They can bail on me in 15 days. I can tell them to get gone in 15 days. So I love month to month. I'll never do anything different.
Right on. So back to the chat here for a second. Steve asked, can you explain the double veteran sixplex deal? Because I'm a veteran. Steve, I didn't realize you were a veteran. Cool, man. But yeah, let's go over the six pack again.
Yeah, six pack.
I dig it. All right.
So 2 veterans get on 1 VA loan together and they can buy up to a sixplex. You don't have to buy a sixplex. You can go lower, but you can buy a sixplex with 2 veterans on 1 VA loan. And this is unique to the VA loan only. It doesn't apply to any other loans. The other ones are capped at a 4-plex.
So, and then what does that require out of pocket versus what do you qualify on for the tenant income?
So what does it require out of pocket? No way to know that because I don't know what the price is, right? But I'm going to say you're going to have to pay for your appraisal. You can still do zero down. You're going to have to pay for your appraisal. You're going to have to pay for your home inspection. So all in all, you're talking about $1,000. And to qualify, we have your income, the other veteran's income, and then the income assessed by the appraiser on all of the other units at 75%. So it's sky high.
Nice. So
you know how expensive rent is. Like it's
Like if you can find rent under $2,000.
Yeah,
that's a shocker right now. Even the best, they're still really good deals, but they're still creeping up for $1,700-$1,800. $2,000 is like the low medium. So if you're pulling in $2,000 per unit times 4 units, that's $8,000 a month. You take 75% of it. That's what, $6,000? Not the math guy.
Or the veterans are a couple. They live in 1 unit and you're renting out 5. It's a ton of income. This is a situation where you're not just going to be paying your mortgage payment with the tenant's rent. You're going to be paying everything, like all of the bills. You know what I mean?
Nice.
That's sky high income. Not saying it's super easy to find a sixplex in Tampa Bay. It's not.
It's not.
But it's not. It's really nice to have the option.
Yeah, even the like trying to find a fourplex, yeah, those are difficult. There's not a lot of them here. Even duplexes, they're you know, there's some areas of the country where they're like, yeah, we got thousands of them. I'm like, we got about 100 maybe between.
I know. I graduated high school in Oregon and this was such a normal thing. But over here, I want to say you can do it, though. If you really want to do it, you will find one. My brother, he's 13 years younger than me, and I found, you know, I helped him find and purchase a duplex as well.
Which is huge because, like, hey, I know somebody in the industry, and then they help you out. Like, it's this crazy leg up on stuff. Matter of fact, when we bought our house, William was, I want to say, like 15, 16 at the time. And I said, look, here's an opportunity. The next time you go to a closing on a house, it might be your own, and it's it's scary, and you know there's paperwork and there's terms that you're not going to know, even though you've listened to me for all this time. So he came with us and sat at the table and he took notes, and there's only like three things that he didn't know off the top of his head, and I'm like, cool, you know, now it took away that shock of what am I doing, what's this process like, they're setting all these papers in front of me. And, you know, it was a phenomenal experience for him, whether or not he kind of got it. But I think when he goes to buy his own house, he's going to go, I've seen this at least once before.
Yeah. Well, so I hold people's hand through the process, and I don't care how many houses you've bought in the past. It always feels brand new unless you're buying multiple a year, you know, really. It does. Even me, I've bought multiple houses. I feel shaky. You know what I mean? It's a very emotional thing, but it's a very good thing.
It is.
And yeah, I just want to point out, actually, so my brother, he's a banker at Wells Fargo, and he was making like 50 grand a year. He didn't qualify to buy a single family house. So that duplex helped him qualify because I could add in the income from the duplex, and bam, he qualified.
Nice.
Yeah, crazy, right?
Like, these are the kind of tools that people don't realize this stuff exists. And if you're in a position to take advantage of that, you 100% need to do it. But so many people don't even realize that these things are possible, let alone normal. And that's part of what I try and do here is to normalize it for people. And say, you know, these are conversations we have, like we have, how many times have we had conversations like this on the phone? Cause you know, we're like, hey, how are you doing today? Oh yeah. Did you know, this is, you know, it's a huge thing.
Well, cause we talk about the people we're working with in the minute, and I swear there's every deal, something unique goes on. So
it is. And you know, that's how we learn from each other. And that's, we try and carry that forward to clients because, you know, like now I'm going to be talking about that six pack deal for veterans. That is just the coolest thing ever.
I'm just picturing like a six pack of Bud Light something.
I was going to say that we're talking veterans. So, you know, the six pack, that's an individual serving. Yeah. But, you know, maybe not quite in today's military, but let me tell you, when I was in.
That's funny. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's like just stick the handle on the keg and walk around with that. Oh, my Lord. So, but yeah, it was good times. But yeah, we, like anybody else, let me pop that back up. I still have, oh, nope, we dropped to zero watchers. That's okay. We had two on there.
Okay. They got their questions answered.
They got their questions answered. I hope we answered them well. I think we did. Speaking of questions, I'm going to hit it again. If you got questions or comments, no matter where you're watching this on, you can drop them in the chat and it'll pop up here and we'll do our best to answer them for you. But in the meantime, I'm going to switch over to the hardball question. Are you ready for this?
Go for it.
I try and prep everybody, but this one's really, really tough. There we go. Let's go to hardball.
I love that.
Thank you. It took me a while to get that. How do I find a good, whatever it is that you do, in this case, being a lender, and how can the consumer tell the difference? Oh, that's a tough one.
That is a tough question, to be honest. So the reason I put out a video a week on Facebook and Instagram, and I have like a historical bank of them on YouTube, so people can get to know me, because it's one thing for me to say I'm an ethical person, but like, why would you trust me if you don't know me, right? So I'm giving you all these tools for free so that you know that I know what I'm talking about. Real estate investing is my passion. I just do the finance end of it, but I know all about it. And that is how I have, you know, succeeded financially in life. So it's something I believe in wholeheartedly. It's the thing I've done best in life. In terms of going to different lenders, look, realtors, talk to realtors, and I mean realtors, because here we are having this conversation, another guy from Cross Country jumps on. Cross Country is a super well-trusted mortgage company, but there are others that aren't. And those are usually online call center lenders that throw the pre-qual out all the time. They might even call it a pre-approval, and people don't trust them because they don't trust that name, because these are call center lenders who do not care. They just say yes to everybody and see what sticks later after you've spent $1,000 on inspections and appraisal. So I would never set anyone up for that, because then they would write me bad reviews and my career would be ruined. So I would never do that. But also, I'm ethical. And I do truly want people to succeed. Obviously, I did social work for 10 years. I really do care about people. I'm a Christian above all things in life. I would not screw people over. However, I will say this. When I got into this industry, I thought that realtors would be the unethical group in the bunch. I was wrong. Lenders are. So how do you know if someone's a little screwy? If you get multiple... you're so inclined to go and apply multiple places. I think you should go with me and I think you should trust me. But if you are so inclined, you can go to multiple places and you will see very different numbers on loan estimates. And sometimes you'll be like, wow, these two are the same, but this one, that interest rate's like a percent less, and all of these title and taxes fees, wow, those are like half. That's because they're all fake. They're deceiving you. It says on the bottom of all of our loan estimates, this is not locked. This is an estimate. None of these numbers mean a thing. I can put that fake interest rate too, but I don't, because I'm not trying to lie to you and deceive you. But if you see that, there's something very wrong. But realtors know who's legit. And this goes to when you're making offers on houses and they see my name, they know I haven't messed up because I've never had a loan denied. And I've done a lot of loans. So they know that's a legit pre-approval that is going to go through. If they see one of the questionable ones online, they're going to be like, eh, they need to go somewhere else. This is not legit.
Right. So I don't actually have the meme queued up. I haven't finished editing it yet, but I always love referring to it as Hal from 2001.
No 9000 computer has ever made a mistake or distorted information. We are all, by any practical definition of the words, foolproof and incapable of error.
I hate robot lenders because that's the only answer you're going to get when you go through them. It's, you know, oh, hey, Rocket Mortgage, can I do this thing?
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
See, I wasn't going to name names, okay?
I name them. There's no prohibition against me calling them out.
Right.
But the other ones that I don't like are, I like to call it, you know, Uncle Joe's Beef Jerky Emporium and Home Loans. The chances of them actually closing the loan are probably pretty slim.
Very slim.
And like you said, if it sounds too good to be true, if they're lowballing numbers to pad what you can get, then it's probably fake.
So here's what they do, okay? This just happened. A realtor called me last Saturday. Here's a horror story to take home. These people, she said, go to Christina. They're like, no. Our guy in Massachusetts, who we've never worked with before, but my friend's uncle or whatever, right? Okay. Yeah.
Uncle Joe. Yeah.
Uncle Joe in Mass. Anyway, so they go to Uncle Joe, and Uncle Joe has them purchasing a home. It's like $750,000, $800,000. He says the property taxes are $2,000 a year. Okay. The actual property tax bill was over $7,000 a year. And you know when that got disclosed? The very end, when the underwriter pulled the property tax bill. So they had spent money on an appraisal, they spent money on an inspection, and they're closing the next week. They could leave him in the dust, but if they go to another lender, they're going to have to pay for the appraisal again, and they're going to have to extend their contract because basically no one can close in a week. I can do 10 days in a pinch, but it is really tough. Anyway, so that's a big mess. He, in my opinion, intentionally deceived him. I do loans in other states too, and I have to look up the actual tax situation in every single area, same as the insurance. I call insurance agents in the local area to make sure that I'm not giving them false figures, because when you get dropped with that, most people, if they got dropped with that, the debt to income ratio is too high and their deal's dead and they get nothing. And so what? They're out of their lease. They got nowhere to go. And they spent all that money.
And I have had that happen with clients who bring me Uncle Joe's beef jerky emporium and home loans. And I just sit there shaking my head going, look, can we try one of my lenders that I know are awesome? And, oh, no, Uncle Joe says he'll close it. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like Uncle Joe's talking the talk. I don't know if he can actually walk the walk. And strangely enough, like we were saying earlier, you know, they'll throw around interchangeably the terms prequal and pre-approval. Yeah, I'll send you the prequal. Yeah. Did you mean pre-approval? Has it been for desktop underwriting? Have you seen the financial statements? You're like, no, it's all good. I don't believe you.
Who needs it?
And I have had deals completely blow up at the last minute because of such things. And the one, it was a good quasi-investment property. It was like a vacation rental, but they, you know, they'd come down and enjoy it kind of thing. And, I kept saying, here, use this lender. I know they know this product. I know they get deals across the finish line. And at the time, they were the lender that I had used to purchase my own house with. So
wow.
I knew them.
Yeah.
I knew they were going to get it across the finish line. And they're like, oh, no, this person. And so they went through like three lenders. And at where we were coming up, like, 4 days from closing, and of course, you know, the listing agent's like, we're not going to extend. Oh God. She wound up having to get the cash to close from her dad to be able to finish the deal. And I'm like, why didn't you listen to me for the past 8 weeks that we've been working on this? Like every single time you had a problem with financing, I said, call this person. You know, if you don't like them, I've got several others you can talk to. Nope. They knew better until the deal blew up.
And the most money I've ever seen someone lose on a deal that didn't close was $50,000. It was in Naples when the market was hot. It wasn't my deal, but it was a realtor I knew. And so again, they actually chose their lender based on ethnicity. Okay. Okay. Right.
They look like, you know, me. Okay.
They chose their lender based on ethnicity. And
I don't know that guy. But
they had a $50,000 non-refundable deposit that they lost. Yep.
Oh, and like, so for people who don't know this, there are specific loans for specific religious reasons. They're their own category. I've got one that I know of that does that. Everybody else, like, pick the people you know can get the ball across the goal line. I cannot tell you how many times, you know, oh, hey, I like this person. Can they perform? You know, I don't really care. I was watching a video the other day and they were talking about Larry Bird was just such a jerk to people. But man, he could play ball. You know, and that's the way I'm like, yes, I want somebody who's nice, like Michael Jordan. I think he had a good personality and he could play ball. But if you're, you know, if you got to choose me to play ball or Larry Bird, please pick Larry Bird. Like, you know, I mean, the guy could be in a wheelchair at this point and still whip me in basketball. So, you know, like go with the ones you know are going to get it across the finish line and who are actually set out to help you. Because there's so many out there that are just, you know, hey, I get, you know, so much from doing this. It's like, no, like, how are you going to feel when you could lose your earnest money? And that could be, you know, $1,000 or 1% of a purchase price. So on a $500,000 place, that's $5,000. That's very normal in this industry, in this area. Or you could say, hey, look, you know, I've got it all and I put it all as earnest money. Oh, so you got $500,000 sitting there. We're going to find a reason to blow up this deal, you know?
Yeah. Like,
Don't do that. I will tell you right now, don't do that. And I don't care what Uncle Joe and his Beef Jerky Emporium and Home Loan stand says. Yeah. Don't do that. You know, so... But yeah, like we've got some good stuff here, don't we?
And, yeah, and I think so.
Like this is so much fun to talk about all of this. I geek out on this stuff all day long. So
I do too. Well, you know, I work 6 days a week talking about this stuff. I literally dream about it. But I just want everyone, you know, who's watching to know we are just like this all the time. Like we're easy to talk to. We're here to solve the problem. We're here to get you whatever your goal is. And there is a way. If there's a will, there's a way.
Yes. And it may not be today. It may take you two, three years to rebuild your life to the point where you can capitalize on this. But I still think...
it's crazy, though. I'm telling you, even people who have filed for bankruptcy or who have gone through the bankruptcy, they bounce right back. Short of a life sentence and death, I haven't seen anybody who can't bounce back.
Yeah. And it may take some time. It may take a little bit of extra work. But I'm telling you, at the end of the day, it is such a game changer. Like we talk about rentals, you know, your interest rate on a rental is 100%. At no point are you going to live in a rental property for 10 years. And the day you go to move out, your landlord will never come and say, here's a stack of cash for being a good tenant. It doesn't happen. It doesn't exist. No. But when you buy a house, there you go. When you turn around and sell it, there's your stack of cash. That's your equity. And
we are always going to need somewhere to live, though. That's the thing.
Let it pay you when you move. That is such a huge thing. And I like talking about this one, too. And I'm kind of digressing a little bit. But the capital gains tax exemption. I love that because for those of you who don't know, that is as long as you live in a property 2 years out of the previous five. And then you turn around and sell it for a profit as a single individual, you can cash out up to $250,000. And the IRS literally says, we consider that tax paid. Don't tell us about it. If you're married, it's $500,000. Again, I'm not an attorney. I didn't even stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night. But it's Section 121 of the IRS code. Go check me. And like that is such a huge wealth building tool. And the way I like to say is if you lived in it for 2 years, you sold it and like after all the fees and everything, you sell it for an extra 30 grand. You pocket 30 grand after 2 years. That is the equivalent to a good part-time job.
Yeah, right.
For 2 years. And all you did was live someplace and maybe you gave it a coat of paint.
It paid you. Yeah.
It did. And that last I checked, which admittedly it's been a couple of years, but the average college loan debt was around $30,000. And even if it's up to 40 or 50 now, you could still very reasonably cash that out on your first property. You know, these are financial tools that when you're literate in this field, it's a game changer. And I love telling people about this because a lot of people have absolutely no idea that any of this stuff exists. Or can be used to their benefit, or, you know, like I always get a kick because I love talking about the capital gains tax exemption. Every time they pop on the news, they're like, it's a sales tax free weekend. Go get school supplies without paying sales tax. And I'm like, but do you own your home?
Well, I'll take them both.
Well, I mean, it's always nice, but, you know, of the two, if you want to pick something, buy a property, you know, take that money. So
take the money.
Anyhow, looks like
invest in your own future.
Yeah, exactly. So looks like we're at an hour now. I mean, I can keep going all night, but you know, my dog needs to eat too. But this is
we'll swing back around another time on new fresh topics.
Yes. Well, we got plenty of them because the industry is always changing.
It
keeps our jobs interesting. Like you guys had to deal with Dodd-Frank back in what, 2012, 2013.
Yeah.
We have to deal with the NAR settlement now, and everybody's going, I don't know how this works.
Keeps
our life interesting. know, right? It's all we can do is just groan and go, oh, really? But, you know, things change every single week. So
in mortgages, they literally change every week.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's, you know, the interest rate has fluctuated, or, you know, that this program.
That's like hourly.
Yeah, it's like hourly. And then you've got, you know, Homes for Heroes. Hey, we just dropped, you know, $15 million into the bucket.
The Hometown Heroes. Yeah.
Hometown Heroes. There you go. There's so many things out there that, yeah, like, go find a great lender like Christina. Follow her on social media. And like, for the hardball question, if you don't know how to find a great lender, go follow their social media. If they're creating good content and you look at them and go, I know them because I'm watching them on video. I like what they're saying and how they're saying it. And I feel like I can trust them. That's somebody you need to follow. And when the time comes, that's how you find a good one. Check out what they're saying, how and why. And what I like is, and it took me forever chewing on that hardball question, find the people who are trying to help you as a consumer. Mm-hmm. I see so many agents that are like, me, pick me. Yeah. And I'm like, no. Yeah. Yes, pick me if you think I'm a great fit for you. But if you go, oh, this long-haired dude, I don't like how he talks about stuff. He speaks kind of plain and he's a veteran. Great. Like, I've got other people.
This is Florida.
Exactly, right? And so I'm like right on the edge of Dunedin. And you know, I'm Scottish, got the kid thing going on, and my wife's you're growing your hair out and you're gonna wear a kilt. And I'm like, all right, baby, that's what you want, that's what I'm gonna
funny.
Do. So but anyhow, this has been a blast. Thank you so much for coming on. And
thank you. I've had a great time.
I did too. So yeah, we'll do this again very soon.
Thank you for joining us. I'm Robin Leach with those champagne wishes and caviar dreams. We all look forward to being with you on the next edition of Lifestyles of the Rich.
Oh, those are the good days.
I love that. That's the good days.